So, can you please introduce yourself?
Yeah, hello, my name's Wayne Smith. I'm doing this video to highlight the end-of-life care drugs and stuff they're using in end-of-life care. It's been actually been ended lives. My father was prescribed two unlicensed drugs for two things he didn't have. One of them was called glycopyrrolidone bromide, and the other one was called midazolam. And midazolam is used in America for lethal injection. He was prescribed 10 milligrams every 4 hours, and that is actually a lethal dose. It's actually, if you check the paperwork, it's actually for terminal sedation.
Mm-hmm.
Now, my father didn't have either of the two symptoms that they claimed he had. It's in the medical records, and it's in the autopsy. So basically, I've done my homework, checked it with doctors, proper doctors, not cover-up doctors, and they've all told me my dad should never have been given those drugs. These drugs are used routinely in end-of-life care. There's another version of glycopyrrolidone, which they use for secretions. It's an oral powder version, which the patient inhales, and it does give patients who've been previously heavy smokers a slight bit of relief. But generally, even according to NICE, it doesn't really do any good. That's why it's unlicensed, it's not proven, and they've been using these drugs for 50 years. I've actually had these drugs removed from the Care Quality Commission website because they couldn't prove to me there's any clinical evidence for using them. And they've been using these for 50 years. I've got various sources of all the information. There's information on medicines.org.uk. It's on NICE. It's on the NHS website. The information's out there. There was a patient safety warning in 2008 about the overdose of midazolam. They said it shouldn't be no more than 2 milligrams vials, because no one knew really uses more than 2 milligrams. In end-of-life care, they're prescribing 10 milligrams. 10 milligrams is a lethal dose. Patient safety experts told me half a milligram is enough to put an elderly patient in hospital overnight. So they're prescribing 20 times what a patient would need. Basically, that's my story. I've tried to fight everywhere I can. I've been to the NMC, the GMC, Care Quality Commission. Not one of them has done their jobs. Council were ordered to do a safeguarding investigation by the senior coroner, who's a judge. Council refused. The local government ombudsman found the council had done nothing wrong, and they upheld the council decision. I've had the same with the police. I've been to the IOPCC. The police were ordered to do a safeguarding investigation by the senior coroner. I was at the meeting when she said it. They refused. IOPCC found in favour. I've been to the IIPC, what it's called now, IPCC, and they've upheld the decision in the IOPCC. So all the way along the line, it's corruption and unbelievable. I've now found there's thousands of unexplained deaths in hospices. Now, I've found four that are really strong. I've got one in Esher, Princess Alice Hospice. It's a 28-bed hospice. It's quite a big hospice. It should have, on average, 340 deaths a year. In 2011, they had 765 deaths, with 98 recorded unexpected deaths. That's nearly 400 too many. I've got another one, which is called St. Barnabas House in Worthing. In 2012, these figures have come from Coastal West Sussex Clinical Commission Group. In 2012, this hospice, it's a 20-bed hospice, should have on average roughly 245 a year. It had 782 deaths there. I've got another one in Chichester, St. Wilfrid's Hospice, Chichester. It's a smaller hospice, so the deaths should be smaller. It's a 14-bed hospice. The national average for that hospice is 170. In 2012, they had 552 deaths there. It's ridiculous, you know. The figures are off the scale. I've got another one up in West Midlands. It's called St. Giles Hospice. It's a 27-bed hospice. The average for that is about 328 a year. In 2011, they had 1,007 deaths there. It's not a mild thing, it's a massive thing. I tried to report 400 deaths in 1 year at Princess Alice Hospice, Esher, to Surrey Police. Surrey Police told me they will not investigate deaths at a hospice. The unfortunate thing is that all the doctors from these hospices work in the NHS. Doctors from St Wilfrid's Hospice work in St Richard's Hospital in Chichester. So if it's happening in St Wilfrid's Hospice, there's a good chance it's happening in St Richard's Hospital. the people from St Barnabas House, Worthing, the doctors there, working Worthing Hospital. The doctors from Princess Alice Hospice, working Kingston Hospital. And I believe the doctors from St Giles Hospice up West Midlands, working Mid-Stats Hospital, where there was a great big scandal. It's not a little bit. It started off with one, it's ended up with two. Started, then there's three, then there's four. It's a massive thing. And I'm only scratching the surface. I've got reported deaths in East Surrey Hospital. I've got reported deaths in Kingston Hospital. You know, it gets bigger and bigger. A lady reported to me, one of her relatives was given the same drugs as my father and died very quickly afterwards. I checked out that hospice. It's in Kent. It's it's called it's in Canterbury in Kent. It'll come to me in a second. She's reported the same drugs. The year they introduced a thing called a just in case box with these drugs in 2016, they had an extra 43 deaths that year. So Kent Police won't even take the complaint. You know, it's a widespread thing, and it's mental. The more you dig, the worse it gets. All these hospices were funded by the NHS for £1 million a year. The NHS sends people there, takes no responsibility for what they've done. These hospices have been receiving bonus payments for putting people on a little care pathway. Sequin payments, they call them. It's money, 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 all it is. The one at Chichester I've had most interest in, because that's the one that actually killed my dad. I spoke to a top doctor. She told me the average wage bill for that hospice, being a 14-bed hospice, should be around £1 million a year. Their wage bill in that hospice for last year was £4.7 million. So where's the other £3.5 million going? It's a scam all around. And the more you dig, the worse it gets, and no one wants to investigate it. I've reported it to a charity commission. The charity commission don't investigate health matters. Everywhere you go, no one's got a job to do. You know? I've reported to the Parliamentary Health Ombudsman. Messed up the case in the first place. They've now offered me £150 compensation. £150 compensation for someone's life. It's ridiculous. You know, it goes on and on. I'm now on the patient safety thing. It's called Learning from Deaths, and it's a steering group. Basically, we're trying to enforce the Learning from Deaths stuff to make sure all the hospitals adhere to the proper procedures. Because my local hospital that referred my dad to the hospice won't even take this as a complaint. Now, they've referred him to an unsafe service. He's ended up dead. They got responsibility. I reported to them in 2015 about the deaths in the hospice. They still employ the medical director from that hospice in St Richard's Hospital. It's a massive cover-up all around, and no one wants to address it.
And what about the fact that as soon as they enter the hospice, they only live so long?
Yeah, but there's been a study done. It was done by Dr. Ros Taylor, MBE, and it was done by Dr. Sarah Russell. They both used to work for Hospice UK. They don't not any longer. They did a study with Leeds University about the unequal hospice time people get. They did a study and they said in north of England, the average life of a patient in a hospice up there is 35 days. In the south of England, it's 55 days. Hospice UK figures says it's less than 15 days, the average. Hospice my dad was referred to, the medical director told me the average life of a patient in his care is only 5 days. There's something seriously wrong. It needs to be addressed. These people got away with murder, basically. We've got a Gosport War Memorial Hospital. There's 656 deaths down there from one doctor, and possibly another 200 they've lost the paperwork to. That's one doctor.
And the question would be, was the consent for the person to enter the hospice?
My dad never entered the hospice, he was at home. Yeah. They've given him the drugs at home, in his own bed, in his own home, while I was out of the room for less than 2 minutes.
Did he consent to those drugs?
No, he couldn't consent because I was his carer.
So he didn't consent, they administered a drug that brought the end to his life?
Yeah, it says about the drug, if you get hot, seek urgent medical attention. That's what it says about the drug. It's a pre-operation medication. It's got nothing to do with secretions. The secretions he didn't have. It says if you get hot, seek urgent medical attention. After the injection, they didn't take his heart rate, his temperature, his blood pressure, nothing. They left him in a coma to die. He was scorching hot. And it says about the drug, and it says on the NHS website, if you get hot and unconscious, seek urgent medical attention. This should be a 999 job within half an hour. The nurses left him, wrapped him up and left him to die. My dad was laughing and joking 1 minute, unconscious the next, and he was like, that was the end of him. He was just in a coma. He was like dehydrated. So they don't give him any water. They say, oh, don't bother giving him the tablets, don't give him any food. You think, anyone, there's something wrong here. There's something wrong. And I've got plenty of people on Twitter, Facebook, all over the place, that out to my mum, down to my dad. There's videos on Facebook, a man called Zach Rodney. He had his mum killed in East Surrey Hospital. The week they killed his mum, they killed another three people. Just put the video up on Facebook. It's quite easy to find it. It's just an absolute scandal. The Liverpool care pathway was supposed to have stopped in 2013, 2014. It's still being carried on today. They're using exactly the same drugs they were using 50 years ago. If it stopped, it should be stopped. It's not been stopped. And everywhere, I've got people on Twitter, I've got nurses, say, oh, it's fair to put them out of their misery. You know, that's someone's life, someone's mum, someone's dad. It's ridiculous.
And the point is, they don't consent to it.
We can't consent, can you? Because it's an illegal act, what they're doing in the first place.
And you're also saying the medication they gave them was not listed?
It's listed, but it's not listed for what they're using it for. The medications aren't listed for what they're using it. They're unlicensed. And they're dangerous drugs. I've had a meeting with a clinical commission group. They told me, absolutely, these are dangerous drugs. I knew they're dangerous drugs as soon as I looked it up on the internet. It's not hard. Pfizer in America are stopping these drugs being used for execution because it's barbaric. They still use it in end-of-life care today. All this information is freely available on the websites, on the internet. People have only got to look and make their own minds up. They don't have to believe a word I've said it, but it's all there for the taking.